welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 186. But that is only at MacBytes headquarters. Kim, 200 days. Unbelievable. Is Kim with us yet? Possibly not. When she comes in, she's not already there. You're just going to put 200 in the chat. Hello, Jonathan. Still number one. Of course you're number one. You'll have to move the RV for street sweeping. Oh, no. Oh, no. Good grief, Debbie. I read that as 200 days for Kim. Oh, my word. Hello, Debbie. Hello, Paul. Jonathan. Jewish New Year starts tomorrow. I was aware of that. I've got it in my notes. You're going to abstain from tech for 48 hours. You won't be there for Marooned or After Hours until Sunday night. Oh, dear. What are we doing with the point, Jonathan? Is it in suspension? We'll ask Kim, being the umpire. I've got a sneaking suspicion. I've got a sneaking suspicion. She's going to insist that it hangs on till next week. Although if the team don't turn up, I'm sure I should get the point. We'll see how that goes. Oh, my. Right. A tech detox. Do you know, it might work well. What if you don't come back? What if you like life without your tech? Is this a possibility, Jonathan? Good job the Apple event wasn't tomorrow. Disaster. We will miss you. We will. We will raise a glass in your honour. CQ, Deb, CQ. Aha! Here's Kim, the umpire. We need to know what the rules are regarding the point, Kim. You will come back. You'd miss us. Oh, Jonathan, we'd miss you too. That's going to be terrible. Oh, no. That'll be... How many shows will that be? Possibly four. Oh, good grief. I don't think you've missed four shows ever. Best book Monday off, I think, to catch up. Oh, Kim, I knew it. No points will be awarded in his absence. Does somebody... Jonathan, would you like to nominate a proxy or do they stand more chance of staying awake than you? Oh, can you imagine it? Well, the score will stay the same. There you go. Can't say fairer than that. The score will stay the same. You will not be penalised for missing it. Now, however, if it was just a jolly you were going on, totally different business, Jonathan. Not that any of us are going on a jolly anytime soon. We have very important scientific news to impart, don't we, Jonathan? Hot off the UK press. Just to put this in context, the UK government. They have put the northeast of England on a not only a stricter lockdown. I've run out of numbers. I've no idea where we're up to on what level they're on. But basically, very strict. They are the first area in the UK to be on curfew as well. So everybody's got to be home by 10. That would work for Kim. Stop the rioting. But we now have a curfew. So, scientifically, seeing as though Boris has said how many times I'm following the science, apparently COVID doesn't infect you until after 10 o'clock at night. I'm thinking this is a world first, that this has not been announced anywhere else first. You couldn't make this stuff up. I say it every day, but every day it gets more stupid than the day before. Seriously, that's where we're at today. So the northwest, northeast in lockdown. The northeast, if you have heard of any towns, is Middlesbrough, Newcastle, north, very very north of Yorkshire. So it's not a million miles away from Antony. But there you go. That's what's happening today. Oh no! How many fires? Good grief! 58. I who in their right minds. Because, you know, they you know this thing that we have over here, don't kill your granny? Same principle with the fire, surely. I mean, we all saw what it did to Australia. It was devastating. All those koalas that they were trying to save. And the fact that there was one video I saw, I'm sure you've seen it. It was a crew, a media crew, who were with a fire crew. And the fire crew were in like two tenders, and I think the media crew were in like an RV, and they all pulled up together. And it was like a way station towards the side of the road, basically. And you could see the fires in the distance, but they were a good sort of mile and a half off. And they pulled up to have a drink and stuff. So they all get out, and the media crew puts a camera on a pole, like a little GoPro thing. And they were just doing like a human interest piece. Let me just click that box. Right. They were doing a human interest piece. So they put this camera on a pole, and all of a sudden the fire crew said, like, the wind's changed, just go. They didn't even have time to pack up this camera. Now, like I say, it was a GoPro, so it wasn't like one of their big things. But they'd been there less than 2 minutes, and this fire had travelled a mile and a half in those 2 minutes. And because the camera was still there and it was sending it up to the cloud, you were getting footage until this camera just died. It just burnt itself to shreds. But the fire was just, it just approached like a wall of fire. I've never seen anything so terrifying. So to set fires, people do really, they must be subhuman. Because you can't control it. It's not like somebody running a mock with a knife, you know, where they can say, well, I've got the knife, so I'm not going to hurt myself. I might get caught, but I'm not going to hurt myself. You set a fire, you have no idea if you'll be cut off as you're trying to escape from it. There is no news. Jonathan heard the news about the North. Do you honestly think people in Newcastle are going to listen to a curfew?
I'll see you later.
Oh, you want to say hello and goodbye?
I was going to say, I thought about wearing my wig. For this
mullet.
Mullet for this Catania meeting.
Mullet the wig.
But I thought if I did, I'd be accused of bringing the circle into disrepute.
True, but it's a lady's after. So you could put it on after and be a lady. Ooh, I'm getting the daggers here.
Are you joining us?
Prior engagement.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. Look, what's the point? I don't drink. So we all sit there and I sit there with a glass of water and they're all, you know, cheers. And I look a complete idiot. So no.
I don't drink either.
Plus the fact I shall be with the lovely MacBiters.
Time controlling the breakout rooms.
Oh, do you get to decide who goes with who?
No, it's just random.
Oh, I much prefer it when I can decide who goes with who and then watch the fireworks. You know, like when you're doing the table plans, don't put X next to Y. Oh, I could have some great fun with that. Shame I wasn't apprised of it earlier. Oh well, never mind. What can I say? No, Jonathan, in answer to that question, I think that Newcastle folk are, and I said that to Mike, I said I can't imagine anybody trying to tell a bloke from Newcastle, or a girl to be honest, what to do and them taking a blind bit of notice. For context, if you're not from the UK, Newcastle play in black and white stripes, the football team. They are known as the Barcodes. I must admit, I do like that nickname. It's only the unofficial nickname, obviously. It's not like the Sharks. But they have a fan. I think he's called Tango Man. And it doesn't matter. And you know what winters we get here in the UK. You know, we're talking three overcoats. This fan goes to matches in just his, you know, jeans and a shirt. A shirt. And then takes the shirt off. It doesn't matter if it's minus 20, he takes the shirt off. You can't tell a bloke from Newcastle anything. Lives his own life. Trust me, lives his own life. Yes, it's chicken! She's had a quiet couple of days, but she's back. She's on form. We heard the smoke's coming to Europe. Oh, fabulous. That's good, isn't it? Not. Now all the people with asthma will have problems. Not good. Not good at all. But what can you do? Hello, Simon! actually, Jonathan, I could smell smoke, and I just thought to myself, oh, it'll be that Barbie from the other day. But when Bolton was on fire, which is a good 23, 25 miles away, I could smell that. Oh, it was vile, because it's peat bogs. So it can ignite from underneath it. It doesn't look like it's on fire, but it's smouldering for days. And then all of a sudden it will just burst into flames. The smoke is thick and black and acrid. And we could definitely smell it here. We were told to keep the windows closed. 25 miles away. I know we do have quite a bit of wind in the UK, but you know, that's a bit much, isn't it? Oh, anyone done the deed on the apple kit? Well, Jonathan, have you seen the pictures in Slack? I spent most of the night upgrading. It started off, I'll just do one, I said to my little self. And I picked the iPhone 7, which is from... When do we get our iPhone 7s? 17? I think it was 2017. So I set it going when it eventually came through, 9 o'clock last night, 3 hours late. And it was chugging away and chugging away. And I thought, I'll just start an iPad. Now, on the phone, it said it's going to download in, I think it was 3 minutes. And it did. And then it started unpacking and generally doing its stuff. The iPad said it was going to take 25 minutes to just download. I thought, well, there's no panic. So I left this one iPad going in the phone. And then I'm like, I could start another iPad going. So I picked up another iPad, started another iPad going. The first iPad had completely finished before the phone had even thought about it. And then I went in to configure stuff and things. McJim came on, and do you know what? He wasn't wrong, was he? He wasn't wrong. He said, you won't notice the difference. And to be honest, he's pretty much right. I think the widgets on the phone are an improvement. But they're a bit weird on the iPad. Because you kind of slide it in from one side and it does look a bit... It just looks a bit weird. Can I get rid of Apple News? Are you kidding me? It's now all over the place. So I need to lose that. You've also got a widget for the maps. Why? The Stocks has made a reappearance, despite the fact I told it to disappear, to do one and never come back. That came back on. Another thing that it automatically made appear was the Tips app. Told it to do one with that as well. And that tracking thing, you know, where it tracks your usage of apps and stuff. Yeah, I told it not to do that as well. But looking at it, what it has added, it's added quite a bit to what I already had. And I just realised that I still had Fantastical running on here, which I binned, if you remember, when it went to subscription and they wanted a kidney for a year's subscription. I binned it. You're quite finished with your chicken now. Yes, Daddy's locked you out, hasn't he? So you've got to dog bother me. She'll settle. She's had two very long walks. So once I'd done those three iPads, I thought, well, I might as well do the rest. Hence the three batches that got done last night. I think it finally finished about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. But I still haven't done my primary iPhone. Going to need to do 17 backups of that one, just in case. You know, everything else worked absolutely fabulously. But I can guarantee you the one that is critical won't. So I'm leaving it until there's lots and lots and lots of backups. I'll tell you what did happen. And it happened on the one device I had not updated. Drafts suddenly stopped working. Let me know in the chat. Do you use Drafts? It started life as an iOS app, then went to the Mac as well. Their tagline is, it's where text starts. So you have one place for putting in text, and from there you can ping it anywhere. So you could send it to Facebook, you could post it to Twitter, you could put it in day one. You literally type in one place and then use the features of the application to send it anywhere. So I'm trying to bring it up on my phone and it's crash, crash, crash. So I thought, well, I'll close all of the apps, including that one, try again, crash. I thought, I'll make sure everything's up to date. It was up to date. I updated at 3 o'clock in the morning. By the time I went to bed at 5 o'clock, there was 23 more applications needed updating. It's that time of year. No, couldn't do a thing with it. So I thought, right, I'll reboot the phone. Rebooted the phone, still crashing. So I ended up uninstalling it and reinstalling it. What can I say? That was the one device that I hadn't updated. All of the others, absolutely fine. So, just playing with my mind then. Right, what else have we got on here? What's this about good notes? Good notes. What about good notes? I did love good notes. Now use notability. Not particularly because it's better. Just because it doesn't work on Catalina. You need Catalina. It doesn't work on Mojave anymore. Most of Deb's on the iPad have been fine. Pencil seems to have some contact issues. I noticed that with the pencil. The first time I attached it, it popped up this message. And it seemed to be kind of recalibrating the pencil in some way. It was huge. It was like an image of the pencil that went down the side of the iPad. But the next time I attached it, it just gave you the little battery thing. So there was definitely some recalibration went on. I did work my way through the tutorial for how to do the scribbles. And I must admit, I did struggle with one, which was the delete. And I'm like, I'm scribbling on it. And then I realised it really meant scribble, not just put a line through. That was something entirely different. So I did do all of that as well. Yesterday they said being outdoors was like smoking 25 cigs. That's shocking. But then I've seen the pictures and I wouldn't fancy going out either. How's poor Kiva doing? She's going to need a respirator at this rate. Can you imagine? Little doggy face mask. You wouldn't thank you for it. Mr. Deb didn't like the new widget display. The bit that annoyed me was that there are dedicated iOS 14 widgets and there are old widgets that haven't yet been updated. And the iOS 14 widgets need to go at the top. And I can't force the ones that haven't been actually dedicated to that to go to the top. And that's annoying me at the moment. To be honest, I didn't use the widgets that much when they're in the kind of slide over thing. But the whole point is that they don't have to be in the slide over thing. So I might want to completely redo it, in which case they really do need to work. But no, I've not done much with them other than get rid of the ones that are useless to me, which were pretty much all the Apple ones. But the ones that are working brilliantly, Things is working well. I've changed my default browser to Firefox all over the place. So that makes me a very happy bunny. What else? That's probably about it at the moment. I did want to try one of the features. But I can't try it unless I get it on this phone. And I can't get it on this phone until I'm satisfied with my backup. And I'm not going to be satisfied with my backup ever at this rate. But when I am, I will put it on the phone. It looked like a military operation. Jonathan, it is a military operation. Because the thing is, the batteries on the 12.9-inch iPad do last forever. I mean, literally, I can get a month out of a battery, even using it an hour a day. So I don't particularly want to overcharge the things. So they were down to less than 50%. And then, obviously, I've got loads of cables, but I'd had to move them to put them on the desk, which meant that I could only reach one cable. So they were all sharing a cable as well. So I could get them all to 50% so they could install. But yes, they all did work, which I'm quite impressed with. An iPad from 2014 doesn't feel bad. You know, remember iPad 1, 2 and 3? You updated and it was like, oh, it's so slow, it's like treacle. No, none of that. It was actually okay. And I thought that was impressive. The other thing that used to happen when you did your updates was it would be like treacle, particularly for like the first 12 hours because it was doing stuff, which is very helpful, doing stuff. And you had to leave it. But I know it's been all right. It's actually been okay. I'm quite surprised. My Mac, however, not well. My Mac is very poorly. Now, we already knew my Mac was poorly, didn't we? Just not as poorly as it actually is. It's done this before. I thought it was a one-off, so I dealt with it, but I don't think it is. So what it's doing, that's very, very annoying. I make recordings, obviously screen recordings all the time. I also do a lot of audio recording. And I save those files locally, because if I don't, and the external drive that I'm saving to unmounts, then you lose the files. So it's always best to record those locally. and then put them on an external drive. In fact, what I do is I copy them to the backup drive first, and then I move them off the hard drive onto the drive they're going to live on. So before I start any editing, I've already got a copy. But what's happening is I'm getting messages that my hard drive's full when it's not. But when I look at it, the stuff I've moved off, so I could have moved off like 250 gig, which is 25% of the drive. It's not freeing the space up at all. The trash is empty. It's just not filling, releasing the space. But if I reboot, then it does. But obviously, this machine is in use so much of the day, haven't really got time to piddle around and be rebooting. So, yeah, it's not looking good. I don't know if I updated to Catalina, if that would solve the problem. I really don't know. Really, really don't know. And again, I don't particularly... This is my main working machine. Every other Mac, bar the one in the studio, which has got its own problems, every other Mac that doesn't have its own problems is running off an external hard drive because the internal hard drive's gone. So, fabulous so far. You need to sort that iMac out, aren't I? Right. Translate. Wasn't Translate one of the new features? I think it could have been. Deb's draft's working. Just mine then. It was working on the Mac. And there was another one as well that was a weird update, which was Things. And it said they'd put some magic beans in to make these widgets work. And because of that, you had to update on every computer or device that was syncing, or they wouldn't be syncing. So ensued, you know, another 15 updates trying to get that fixed. But that was okay. If Scribble is on with GoodNotes, it will not let you move the text. Move with a pencil. You got to use your finger. Oh. I don't think I tried it with GoodNotes. I tried it through the, you know, this is how it works, give it a go kind of thing. Tried it with that. And I did try it in Notability, but it wasn't great. So I left it be. Am I actively using Things? Oh, Simon, there's a leading question. I have had every version of Things since it came out. I was determined to love it. Well, when did it come out? 2009, I think. And I could see how beautiful it was, but it never worked for me. Having said that, you know, has anybody got a to-do system or an app that's actually working for them that they would say, yep, absolutely, this works the way my brain does and I get everything done? Is anybody at that point? But when I moved to a Mac, I was using Outlook, and for 2 years, my mail was on my PC and I wasn't accessing mail on my Mac. So my to-do things were still in Outlook. And I think back then life was simpler. And you could probably get away with that. But then when I was on a Mac, I had Omni Outliner and I'd drunk the Kool-Aid with GTD. And there was a set of scripts, Kinkless GTD scripts. And they were like a script solution that sat on top of Omni Outliner. Does anybody's mind go back that far? Let me know. It was very clunky. It was really clunky. But I think I wanted to implement GTD. But it was, to be honest, it was too clunky. At the same time, the guy that wrote the GTD Kinkler script got taken on by the Omni Group, and they started working on what became OmniFocus. So I then couldn't wait for OmniFocus to come out because I felt they really understood GTD. And was it some kind of HyperCard thing? Which is this? The Kinkler script. No, the scripts. It was like it allowed you to maintain multiple lists within Omni Outliner and it linked them together. So it wasn't quite a HyperCard thing, but it did link lists, if you're with me. But it was too, you know, if you wanted to change something, you had to run the script again. So it was too fragmented. Now, OmniFocus came out. I was on the Alpha program. And I remember actually having a conversation via email with Ken Case. And I'd got this bug and he couldn't replicate this bug. And I said, I can replicate this bug. And I sent in this report of, you know, this is how you replicate the bug. And he came back and he said, now that is what I call a bug report. Like 4 pages long, do this, this, this. And then that happens. And they did iron that out. So when it came out, by comparison to these kinkless scripts, there's the idiot with the bike again. Still alive. It was much better. It was much more integrated. It did more. And it was very aligned to GTD principles. So I started using that. And I know Jonathan did as well. And version one was probably around for maybe 3 years. You could have views, which were basically perspectives. And it always felt to me like, yeah, it's really powerful, but darn it. Now I need to build that. Now I need to build this bit. And then I need to build that bit. There was always something that seemed to need me to interact with it on a system level. Now, I don't mind that I'm capable of doing it, but it's two different jobs. It's like you can't paint the wall while you're laying the carpet. It wouldn't end well. And I didn't want to fiddle around with the system while I was actually trying to get things done. Now, Notion has the same problem, if you think about it. You'll be in Notion thinking, oh, yes, I just need to tick that off. And before you know it, it's 4 hours later and you've now got a fabulous system written for something you didn't know you needed before you started building it. So I rein myself in with Notion. It's like, if I think it's a good idea, then I'll make a note of it and then I will apprise it on a weekly basis. And if it's like, yeah, that would make a huge difference. You know, if I could build that and if it worked, it would make a big impact now. And then I might choose to do it, depending on how big a job it was. But what I've tried to do is say, I'll consider how much of an impact it would make and I'll look at it quarterly because the fundamentals of my system are way already there. If there's something that I think, like I came up with a problem. I have a database in Notion and I have a calculated field that shows me a week number. What's the problem with that? I can filter by week and it works. So that was something that I threw in because I thought I have a need to filter by week number. And if I filter by week number where the week number is calculated from the date, then I don't need to make a filter that I have to edit every week. So there I am patting myself on the back. As I turn round, I think, just a minute, that won't work. Anybody want to hazard a guess as to why that won't work? It did, showed me exactly what I needed. But long term, it won't work. It won't work long term because it will show me week 38. But next year, it will show me week 38 for this year. And if I had a week 38 for last year, it would show me that as well, because there's no way to distinguish that. So I thought, it's working at the moment. But instead of fiddling with it, I decided to make a note to my future self that was detailed enough that I would be able to get my brain back where it was at that point to see where I was up to, why I'd done what I'd done and what the potential problems were going to be with it. And once I'd done that, I was quite happy to leave it alone. And that's where I needed to be with OmniFocus. But the thing with OmniFocus was, if you were thinking about it at that point, the need was at that point. And then you had to go in and start fiddling with the system. Then the iPad came out. So OmniFocus itself hadn't been out that long. And the iPad came out. And on launch day, night, Jonathan. On launch day with the iPad, they had a version of OmniFocus. So it was like, oh, this is going to be fabulous. And it was very nicely designed. Within a couple of years, they had totally redesigned it. And that second version was the one that Jonathan and I were crazily waiting for. And again, it came out. It was absolutely beautiful on the iPad. The version that came out for the desktop, they'd ripped half the features out. So I could have been happier. Let's put it like that. I could have been happier. It was the feature they'd ripped out were what it looked like. So obviously functionality, no, they'd not rip something out that made it not work. But unfortunately, what they had taken out, in my mind, made it look less aesthetically pleasing, and therefore I wanted to use it less. So at that point, I'm thinking maybe I should wait for version 3. Version 3 came out. It was different to version 2, and that's also a problem. That meant there'd been 3 versions, and every one looked wildly different than the previous one. But I stuck with it. But I was still at the point of, like, every time I needed to use it, it was like, oh, I need to tweak that. To get out of it, to ask the question of it that I needed the answer to, I needed to tweak it. And it really got on my nerves. To the point, in the end, although I had it perfectly set up, and until about, well, still now, actually, but until about 2 weeks ago, I was using it to get reminders on my watch. And for that, it was working. So it would remind me at a certain time to do a certain job. I would do it, then I would tap done, and that was that. But I didn't really interact with it on the Mac or even on the iPad that much, or the phone. Just purely because every time I went in, something needed moving, tweaking, fixing, mending, whatever. But I did figure to myself it would be really useful to have a way to capture things, thoughts that come into your head. Oh, I need to pay that credit card bill. Oh, I've got the house insurance to deal with. Instantly. And 9 times out of 10, I would be on my Mac. So what I was doing was using Drafts for that. But the problem with using Drafts for it was it's great for long form text, but it doesn't particularly make it very easy to put like a due date on it. It's not that kind of thing. It's text. So I'm sitting here thinking you could always put them into OmniFocus. Now, you know that portrait thing of the screen? That's what I look like. So I thought there's not much point in doing that because you would be putting in things that were like unformulated in my mind into a system that was actually working for reminders. So I pondered for a bit and I thought maybe Evernote, because there's a clipper, and I thought that's going to have the same problem in terms of allocating a date to it. So I thought, well, what would enable me to put a date on it and capture it seamlessly? And I thought, oh, things, on the basis that things at the point of capture was very similar to OmniFocus. So I get things out again, downloads it, installs it, configures it, yeah, woof some magic beans at it. And all I was doing was using it for capture. And this went on for about 2 months, 3 months, something like that. And about 2 weeks ago, I thought, you know, all those half-baked ideas you put in things, you need to go look at them. And I thought, oh no. And I thought, no, it's going to be fine. There's no areas in there. There's no projects in there. There's nothing. There's just the stuff that you've captured. So it'll be fine. And in I went. And I don't know what happened this time. It just clicked. I'm looking at the things that I had put in there. And I thought, well, that one goes with that one. Oh, that's a project. And then I thought, oh, and it belongs to that area. So I thought, well, I'll make a project. And then I thought, I'll make an area. I'll put the project in the area. And it just kind of came together. And I was as surprised as you will be. I did not see that one coming. I didn't. It's organized by tags, mainly for the thing, for all the things that OmniFocus has like an interface for. This thing has tags. And I think it's working because I approached it in a totally different way, where I have areas set up now, and within the areas I do have projects. So if I opened one of these, I've got the Brooklands 196 area, which has got a gazillion projects in it. But I don't look at them. I just fold them up and they bubble to the surface because they've got a date on them as and when I need them. So I can basically live in the today view or the upcoming view and see the stuff. So in answer to the question, that's hello, Anthony. That's the long version of yes, I am using things, but I did not see that coming. I really didn't. In fact, it wouldn't have mattered to me if it was even on my iPhone. Until I started obviously capturing it on the Mac. And then it was like, well, if I am on my phone and I do want to capture something, And when I'm on my phone and I want to capture something, it'll be like an idea. It could be a tweet. It could be a link. It could be an email. It could be anything. And the problem was, there wasn't a seamless capture method. There is a Notion clipper. One of the things I tend to clip on the phone is stories from Sky News, because I use the Sky News app, and it clips perfectly on the desktop, but not on iOS. So I thought, oh, well, I can send that one to Notion. So one can go to Notion. Oh, that one can't go to Notion. It's got to go somewhere else. And I needed one way to capture everything. So even if it's a note to myself, or if it's something to do, a bill to pay, anything like that. And the one way that I found that works is to just send it to things. And you can even send it with an email if you want. So you could forward an email onto it. That's not 100% the way that I do it. I'll be honest, it's not. Because it depends very much on the format of the email, what that looks like when it arrives in things. I guess it's enough, but it's probably not the way that I would use it. But for everything else, I've not over-tagged. I'm taking it cautiously. I think where I went wrong before, and you know, let me know in the chat, has this happened to you? I thought, oh, I daren't start using things until I've built it out. So it's a proper system and everything's got a place and everything is in its place. You know, I can't possibly do it until I'm at that point. And I would spend far too long getting it to that point. And I did that in OmniFocus. And it worked, you know, at the point I like put the mouse down. It's like, it's perfect. But then you have to work with it. And things are getting moved around at an alarming rate, and you start to find holes in the system. And then you start, you know, doing that switch thing between getting done what you need to get done and plugging holes in the system. With this one, I've approached it a totally different way, which is I've looked at like using it for capture and solely capture. And then going into it, looking at it and think, OK, that was a note to myself to do something. And then making a decision how I would track that thing. So it might be an idea for something that I want to put in after hours. Then I will open up Notion and I will put it in after hours and I will tick it off as done in things. But slowly it got to like, well, I'll put things that go together and then see how that works, what that looks like, and not push it. Don't worry about the 3,000 other projects that aren't in there, which before it was like, the system's got to handle everything or there's no point in having it. So this time I've taken a totally different approach. And so far, so good. There's a few gotchas with it. It's not great with templates. It has a repeating task feature. And that's pretty advanced. But if you just want a template because you don't know when something's going to be due, it's not actually repeating. It's just as and when it's needed. You can do it by making a basic one to start with and then putting it in a project area called templates, which I've done. But that feels a little bit clunky. I would love if it supported task paper markdown, which at the moment it doesn't. But it does have a URL schema. So I could investigate that. But I didn't want to overcomplicate it because I do not want to reach a point where, again, maintaining it is taking far more effort than actually using it. So I'm at the stage at the moment it's working because I'm using it for a subset of stuff and adding in more when it makes sense to do it. What's everybody else using? Mike has a constant battle with his to-do systems, and a notebook and pen on his desk is his favourite. It really is. And you know what I'm like with my post-it notes. Mike's tried, I think he's done Outlook. He tried OmniFocus. I built him the perfect OmniFocus setup 3 times and explained it to him. But it didn't work for him. You know, keeping it up to date again was just more trouble than it was worth. I've heard really good things about Todoist. I can't really say why I didn't look at it. I mean, I know there's apps and it's also web-based where you have to pay extra for that for OmniFocus, and it's not there at all for things. So I have heard very good things about it. I think probably I'd been burnt with OmniFocus and decided I'm not going down that route at all. So I put them in things like as just somewhere to shove them. Oh, remember the hit list. I got, let's have a look at my 1Password. I got the hit list when it very first came out. It must have been a bundle. Let's have a look when that was. Good grief, that was a while back. Looks like I've got three. 2011, July 2011, version 1.0.4. And it was in the Mac Heist bundle. And then I've got 1.1.13. That again was in a bundle. It was the Mac Legion Spring bundle from 2015. And I also have one that is a sign up to their service. There's a sync service, isn't there? So it's the sign up for the sync service. So yeah, I well remember the hit list. Obviously now, in addition to that lot, you've got Microsoft To Do, you've got Trello, Asana, Notion. The reason that I don't track these particular things in Notion, because that's probably going to be the next question. 1.1.32. Wow. That's been around almost 10 years then and not needed an update. When did that come out, that latest version? Is it kept up to date? And is it in the App Store? Because the one I got would have been direct. But I've got a memory of it being in the App Store. Ouch, that's expensive. £49. Let's have a look. Yes, it's all coming back to me now. Yep, I can see the interface. I remember the tabs in it. And the quick entry looks very similar to all of the others. But yeah, the tabbed views and stuff. And then like the folders down the side. So yeah, that would be just as good, wouldn't it? I think I'd probably think with that. It's been around a while and it hasn't had much of an update. I'm trying to see when the last update was. 1 year ago. I mean, I don't know why people are complaining here, saying like, well past its sell-by date, far too expensive. I mean, it's comparable to the others. And if that's how your mind works, it's got this view, hasn't it, in the inbox of looking like a legal pad, which is quite nice. Quite nice, yeah. So 49. They maintain rather than enhance it. Well, at least they're still adding bits. You never know. Might get an update. Gorilla Software, that rings a bell. Sandvox, that's what I used to use from theirs. It was a web design thing, wasn't it? A homepage creator type stuff. Yeah, they've not done much new, have they? So it would concern me if I was starting out with it. And I don't know how they're competing with things like Microsoft To Do. Don't understand that one at all. In a bungle. Rainbow. Anthony started out with OmniFocus. Like Mike, it was hard work. It was. That was the problem with it. I mean, I do appreciate its power. And I do appreciate, you know, all of the scripting and everything else. I appreciate it. But that doesn't mean that I particularly, you know, want to spend my life looking after it. And that's the problem. That you are spending your life looking after it. Whereas I want to try and spend my life doing the stuff that's in the task manager. I'm not saying things is the best thing since sliced bread, if you'll pardon the pun. But what I will say is, I think maybe anything would have worked if I'd have approached the other applications in the way that I've approached this. But what I will say is, and I've always thought it is a beautiful application. By comparison to OmniFocus, it looks very basic. And it doesn't have the level of customization that you would have in OmniFocus. But that customization comes at the cost of the complexity of actually using it on a day-to-day basis. So when I went back to it and, you know, I didn't think, oh, what tags do I need? What keywords do I need? And what this do I need? And what that do? I've literally added it bit by bit. I'll give you an example. I started putting things in it about 2-3 months ago. And as we were coming up to the holiday, I thought, need somewhere to put the things that we need to do in the holiday. So I made a project. I thought that makes sense to me. Make a project, holiday project. And I put it in and I put a little emoji next to it of a sun umbrella. And I thought, right, anything for the holiday would go in there. And I think maybe doing it little by little, I thought, just a minute, record screech, hang on, that's not going to work. Because let's say some of it was sort out something with the MacBytes production process. That really belongs in the MacBytes project, or at least the MacBytes area, and potentially a project within the MacBytes area. Let's have a look what's in the MacBytes area. If it was a system improvement, it would probably go under MacBytes system, which is a project in the MacBytes area. If it's a show, then it has an entry of its own. So if it was something to do with After Hours tomorrow, it would be in the After Hours project. Now, just imagine that I had something to do with the MacBytes system that I wanted to do in the holiday, and I put it in the holiday project. How do I know it's related to MacBytes? Well, I could actually say, you know, improve the MacBytes email process. But then I've got to search for it, and it's not with its brethren. It's not with other tasks to do with MacBytes system. So I'm actually looking at this holiday project and thinking, no, this is the totally wrong way to go about it. It's not a project. It's not a holiday project, because you would be throwing into it too many different things. So I thought to myself, it's actually a tag. You need a tag for holiday. Jobs to be done in the holiday. And at that point, I thought, so I'd have one tag, because I wasn't using any of the others. But it did make sense. So I think this time I've gone into it in a totally different way. And that's what's made the difference. I'm happy to show you that in After Hours, but give me a couple of weeks until I'm pretty sure that it is actually working. One of the things that made a massive difference to me was the fact that you can put in, and are encouraged to put in, quite a few notes. Let me have a look at this one. Yeah, so I've put in a task in the MacBytes system project, in the MacBytes area, that says reorganise and document MacBytes and After Hours Google spreadsheets. Now, normally when that's in my head, that would be the title of what I needed to do. And that's what I would put in. Tell me, would you do the same, or would you go deeper than that? Because to me, it's like, I just need to quickly capture that we need to reorganise and document the Google spreadsheets that run MacBytes. But what I've started doing, and I think this has probably made a bigger difference than whatever application you're using, is that Things has a notes area underneath. And you could do this with Notion, it wouldn't matter. And in the notes underneath, I've got 6 lines of explanation as to what that means. So it says, there have been and are currently multiple Google Sheets to manage very specific aspects of the creation process for MacBytes. Some of these have been consolidated into broader Google Sheets, but the entire system needs to be examined and converted into a functional spec with a view to reducing the number of separate Google Sheets required to effectively run the creation process for the show. Now, that might be superfluous to, you know, could you work that out from what you've put? Maybe. But given it might sit there until the Christmas holiday, by capturing that, the 6 lines underneath it, it means that I have, that it is off my mind. I don't need to think anymore. What would have happened is we'd come to Christmas and I'd look at that and think, what on earth did I mean? And I'd then sit with Mike probably for about 20 minutes trying to work out, what did we mean by this? How many sheets are we trying to get rid of? What did it all mean? Become very internalized. Let's look at the meaning of life while we try and work it out. So putting that much detail in is helpful. Now Kim's saying, hang on, you think all to-do apps eventually suffer from feature creep? They do, but you know, you don't have to use them. You could ignore them, like I was ignoring the tags. So the only tag, there are tags in things where they mean something specific, in terms of, if I tag something as today, it will put it in the today view. But when you look at the list of tags, the list of tags are identical, you know, it doesn't make a song and dance about the fact that using the today tag will put it in a special place. It looks equal to all of the other tags, but it does something specific. Same with Scrivener, to be honest. I remember trying to set Scrivener up to do a specific job, probably around 2007, 2008. And you've got your list of features next to you. You know, it's got this and it's got the notes and it's got the card view and it's got the corkboard view and it's got the keyword view and it's got the full screen view. And it was like, right, and this is my project and I've got to make sure that I use every feature because it's there. You know, and actually I have never found a really useful way of using the keywords. Not for the work that I do. If I ever did, I know they're there, but at the moment I'm ignoring them. So the feature overload, yes, if you're trying to use it and you don't have actually any use for it, yeah, then you start thinking, oh, maybe I should be using it. FOMO, fear of missing out. There's this feature and I don't know whether I'm going to use it. So Kim's has my to-dos in Notion, the journal's in Notion, and I've decided to master Notion and DevonThink. Your life's not nearly as complicated as mine. The reason that these kind of notes aren't in Notion, because you've obviously seen the system I built in Notion and it can handle projects and areas and to-dos. So I've got action items that belong to projects, which belong to areas. The problem is getting an overview of those in a way that's quick, that I can flick from one project to another. Now, obviously, you could be in the MacBytes area and be flicking between five shows. But I don't particularly then want to have to go over to the Brooklands dashboard and then go and have a look at something else. So there is an overlap in terms of, I won't say all of what's in things could be in Notion or should be in Notion. But definitely 90% of what's in there could be. But I want to put it where it makes most sense to put it. And if it's separate and it sits there, because one thing with the interface in Things is you can actually have it looking like a Twitter client if you want. You can hide the sidebar and just focus on today and then just work through the tasks. And as you do them, just tick them off. And then the next one's automatically there. I mean, yes, you probably could build something like that in Notion. But the fact is that I haven't done. And just because I can, I'm back to the OmniFocus mentality, aren't I? I'll go and build it. So all I actually want at the moment is something that will get me through to the end of October in a way that I don't completely crash and burn. Because, you know, this course is taking forever. The course is, there's officially 10 hours, 2 hours a week, and then homework, you know, the surrounding work. But it's turned into much more than that. So it's probably taking, I have sessions between midnight and 2 o'clock, 5 days a week. And then some sessions, so like last night's session finished about 4:15 in the morning. And I was up again at 10. I didn't get to bed till about 6. And I was up again at 10 for a session this morning. So I'm at the moment all over the place. Like Kim says, it's complicated at the moment because I'm not letting anything else go while I'm doing something else. So all of the maroons are getting done. We can talk about 134. For 48 hours, we can say whatever we like. Poor Jonathan will be none the wiser. We couldn't release a show, could we, when he's on his digital detox? No, that would just be too cruel. Far too cruel. Kim would dock me a point for that. But, you know, everything that I normally do is happening and all of this is on top of it. And this is just providing a little bit of extra assistance in relation to that. That course is like being back in school and working a full-time job. It is, Kim. It is, but it's worth it. Just in terms of mindset, not even like, oh, now I know something I didn't know before. A lot of the time, everybody else is scribbling notes like crazy. And I'm sort of like, no, I know that. I know that. It's like just putting it in context and having the time that you've dedicated to this is my time to do X. So I'm sat there and I might, obviously I'm listening and I would make any notes that were relevant. But if I know the majority of it, then it, my mind can keep an eye on that and wander and think, oh, I've already got that, but what if I linked it in with something else? So it's like ring-fenced time to improve systems, which I do actually like. Love that. Anthony, put it in at first, get it out of your head, expand the project later. I think I would do that if it was a very quick thing. But if I'm sat at my desk and I know exactly in my head what needs doing, then I'll just throw it in at the same time. Because sometimes I've noticed that sometimes, particularly as I'm working my way through drafts, it's like I've got these notes and I know exactly what I meant because I've got like the note and I'm looking at it thinking, when did I make that? What date was it made? I'm not quite sure. So I'm going through it and I'm being far more precise now than I would be. And that's why I'm taking the time and putting that information in at that point. Something that's as big as that is definitely going to end up in Notion. But while it's incubating, there's no point trying to shoehorn half-baked stuff into Notion because then that will break the Notion system. So I'm not one to believe only use one app. Use as many apps as you need, but no more than that. And yes, I've added this one in, but it's actually improved the system, not made it worse. If you find it's making it worse, then dump it. Anthony says, I think the difficulty I found with OmniFocus was the context, because in GTD, he mentioned the phone, the computer, the fax. Totally agree, Anthony. That context thing crippled everybody for years. When the book was written, it was the late 90s. And, you know, the iPhone wasn't a thing. A smartphone wasn't a thing. And, of course, you're coming to it and you're like, oh, do I need a phone for this? Do I need to be in the office for this? And that's what he considered to be a context. And I just don't think I have ever worked like that. Maybe it was like, as a lawyer, you're sitting there and you're thinking, right, I'm going to push through these cases this afternoon. And before you know it, somebody's on the phone with a crisis, adjusting your what you consider to be important for that particular day. The context never worked for me. Never, ever worked for me. If I did what he said, like you're saying, everything would be on a computer, 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 computer. So I tried using the context for something else. You had a context and you only had two things. You had a context and something else, and it wasn't a tag. Was it the project? The actions lived inside a project and that you could then allocate to each action a context. So I thought, well, what if I put like people down there and things that I needed rather than a context of a computer or this or that? And that didn't really work. The next thing I saw suggested was use the context for the energy required. And I remember thinking, well, I've got to do it whether I've got any energy or not. So that didn't work. Then I read this treaty on contexts. I've probably got it in Evernote somewhere, but it was somebody who completely like ripped apart the context thing and then built it back together as a completely different system. I wish I could remember the name of it. I will make a note, see if I can find it for tomorrow. But he had like a totally different take on what to use contexts for. And I looked at that and it seemed like a jolly good idea and that didn't work. And every time with Mike, that was where he hit the brick wall. The contexts aren't right. So in the end, I thought, I'll just not use them. That'll work. But then you found yourself thinking, oh, actually, it'd be quite useful if I could mark that as whatever. Eventually, I do think that was with version 3, the context was still there. But they were now called tags. And by calling them tags, it meant you could apply multiple contexts, multiple tags, which seemed like a grand idea. But still in my head was the fact, well, yes, but they're contexts, aren't they? So, yeah, I totally understand that. And you're loving Typeinator. Excellent. Excellent. That was updated the other day, wasn't it? 8.5. I've actually just added some more in. I find it useful to go revisit what you've put in there every sort of quarter. There's some that I'm like, oh, Did I do that? Don't remember that. You know, and if I do that, I'll think, well, you know, use it or lose it. Use it. And then I'll like mark it as review for the next quarter. If I don't use it, there's no point having it there. One that I've put in, it was driving me insane, was Devon Think. Because the word Devon is in capitals and the think is in lowercase. So I thought, I know what I'll do. I will put a shortcut key, which was section key DEV, and that will type the word Devon Think. And I didn't want to put it as DT because section key DT is the date and time. So it had to be longer than that. And I was using it. But I also found myself automatically holding the shift key down and thinking, oh, it's just faster to type Devon Think. And then I realised what I could have done is, yes, I can type Devon Think fairly quickly. It's getting the capitalisation correct. Because if I hold the shift key down for actually too long, I get a capital T, which I don't need. If I don't hold it down long enough, I get a lowercase n. And I thought, what if I just created a Devon Think thing? Expansion that converts Devon Think in lowercase to Devon Think as it's supposed to be with a capital Devon. And once I'd done that, that was a game changer. So I didn't need the one that was a shortcut to type Devon Think, because half the time I've typed Devon, I'm halfway there. But no matter what case I type it in, it will correct it to be the capital five first letters and then the rest in lowercase. So yes. Go revisit it. Put it on your calendar for revisiting it. Another thing I do is, like, I put in things where I can search. So if I want to go to my Amazon orders, want to check an Amazon order, because I've got Alfred and I've put the... I don't know if you've got that, Kim. But if you want to use Typinator in Alfred, you need some magic code, which I sent to Jonathan when he bought Typinator. I want my expansions to work inside Alfred. And by default, with the new one, it doesn't. So I got onto the developer and he sent me like a hack, which is a terminal code. So I put that in, works great. And Jonathan wanted the same, so I sent the code on to him and it was working for him. So if you want that, let me know. But what I do is I have a shortcut, which is really simple. It's section AO. I bring up Alfred, I type section key AO, press enter. It expands it to the full hideously long URL for my Amazon orders page. And it opens it up in the default browser. So I never actually have to go to Amazon, which I do have on a shortcut key. I just use that. I also have another Amazon shortcut where I type section key Z and it expands to be a search Amazon. And then I just type after it what I want. So I don't even have to open up a browser. And if I wanted it to open up in a specific browser, you could even do that. So that was actually quite life-changing, that, when I sorted that out. And it's available, you know, even if I am in a browser and I want to go to it, it's not that I've created it in Alfred as an Alfred script and it's locked in Alfred. And the only way you can do it is in Alfred. It doesn't matter where you are. I could be in any browser and get to my blog, MacBytes, Amazon, all the sites that I use frequently, all of them. So that's why I don't have many bookmarks. I just don't need them. And by having them external to any other application, so they are in my text expander, Typinator, I can use them in a browser or I can actually use them in Alfred. So if I don't have a browser in front of me, just bring Alfred up and then put the extension, the expansion in there, and then it will just expand. I will send that to you, Kim. It's going on a post-it note because I'm not typing at the moment. Right, Typinator script. Have you done that before? Typinator. You'll need to open a terminal window and you just need to paste the thing in and then press enter and you're done. And if you ever want to turn it off, you just do the alternate and I'll give you the on and the off. And you just go in and put it in again. I don't know why he added that feature and did not add an interface for it. But he said he had a lot of people did not want the expansion in Alfred. And I cannot understand that. Why would you do that? Because that's half the feature. Completely useless. It's definitely good that if you are using it for bookmarks. I guess it could be annoying if you were trying to type the name of an app. So if you've got Let's see what happens if I do that. Yeah, you've got the date and time preferences. So let's say you decided you wanted to start typing DAT and put the date in, which is not the best idea. Never use a Typinator expansion that isn't either an incorrect spelling that you want to correct or something with a key that makes it unique. So if you decide to expand DAT into date and time, every time you type it, that's going to happen. I know somebody who did that and then made such a mess in a Word file. Didn't even bear thinking about. So I use the section key a lot, but it doesn't actually matter which the key is. And sometimes you can use like a key for standard stuff and another key for, say, MacBite stuff. I just tend to stick to that section key. What I will say is, should they ever come to their senses and you be able to do this all on an iPad, the section key is not easily accessible on an iPad. So I might have to change that. But at the moment, it's fine. And it has been fine for years and years. It just depends on what you set it up as. So, yes. Madam barked, but I think she's calmed down. I think she tests which one of us Muppets will go a-running when she barks. But we know she has been out. She has been out for a walk. She has been out playing football when she came back from her walk. She has had food. She has had water. She has had treats. And she's been out again since to play football. Then she came back in and then she went out, did her business and then came back in again. So I know she does not need to go out. She's just swinging it. Because when Daddy goes in the studio and shuts the door, she looks at him like, ha, you think that's going to stop me, do you? And obviously, no is the answer to that. Absolutely not. But she seems fine. Oh, Simon's using Typinator, but moved all expansions to Alfred via the power pack. Yeah, I've got that. And, you know, it looks fine. The reason I left them where they were was mainly historic. I do have some that are more advanced than I think Alfred could handle. Unless Alfred has greatly, greatly, greatly expanded what they can do. Because some of mine use variables. So at the weekend, I do the church mass. So I'm in their YouTube account and I need to put in a title for the mass and a description. And I have two Typinator expansions. The first one is OP for our parishes, YTT, YouTube title. And it pops up a dialogue at me and asks me what dates I want in this block of text. So I put the dates in and press enter and it replaces the variable with the actual date. When I get down to the body of it and I'm putting it in the description, it asks me again, what date do you want? Well, obviously the same one. But I had it ask in case I ever wanted to do the description separate from the title. But once you've put this date in once, it remembers it. So it's a persistent variable. And all I need to do is just press enter. I don't need to type anything in with it. I'm not sure with the Alfred one. It's features, isn't it? Snippets. Does it prompt for stuff or not? It didn't the last time I looked. But it's perfectly capable on its own. I would just say Typinator edges it in terms of how advanced it is. Asking for stuff, putting dates in. It can automate things a whole lot more, I think, than the Alfred one can. But the Alfred one works for most people. Now, Mike uses Typinator for that. But what he does use in Alfred is the clipboard history, which I used to. In fact, if truth be told, I do use it, only I never use it. And what I mean by that is it's on and it's working. And it keeps plain text for 3 months, images for 1 month, and file lists for 1 month. Should, by accident, my preferred clipboard extender not actually be running, or for whatever reason. So I deliberately have two, but I just don't actively go into Alfred to retrieve the information. Unless I found out there's something wrong with the other one, in which case it's like, oh, that paragraph of text I just copied 3 hours ago. And I can always go back to it and go back to it for 3 months. So it is turned on in Alfred. I just don't actively use it to retrieve things. So probably with the snippets, there's probably snippets in there I could particularly use, but I just don't. I don't know. I can't tell from the interface if it does variable replacements. But my bet would be no. My bet would be no. You've settled on paste for clipboard history. I've tried every one. I know exactly your feelings on it. You try it, it's like, oh, one's great. Oh, no, it doesn't do that. I think, is paste the one? Look at the icon. Is it the orange icon? Because, yeah, I tried that one. I've tried them all. I'm like you. I tried them all. Do you remember iClip? It's still going. That was the be-all and end-all years ago. It's $14.99. It's in the App Store. iClip. It was brand new in about 2007. And when you look at the reviews, they are pretty stunning. You know, everybody gives it 5 stars. When I look at it, yeah, last updated a month ago. So that's pretty impressive. It's got a beautiful interface if you use your mouse. But I deliberately do not want to use my mouse when I'm accessing my clipboard extender. I want keys and I want it all automated where I can use up and down arrows and stuff like that. So I deliberately do not want something that looks gorgeous like that. But I did try paste and I'm wondering, let me look at it in the App Store and try and remember. Yeah, it's got that beautiful thing across the bottom. Again, it's very similar to iClip. And I found it just a little bit intrusive. It's beautiful. And if you're looking for a link and you've got that pretty icon, then you'll instantly know. Mine's completely the opposite to that. I want a text list that pops up on the right-hand side of the screen that I can instantly search and then press enter and it just insert it wherever. I want to be able to bring it up and get rid of it without touching the mouse. And I want to be able to select the clip that I want to put in again without touching the mouse. The one I was using was copied. And the only reason I was using copied was it did all of that and it had an iOS version that it would synchronize with. But to actually get it to synchronize did take its sweet time. There is now the automatic thing, but I think I turned that off. Also tried PasteBot many moons ago. But yeah, copied is fantastic. That's the one I've demonstrated before. I actually tried not long ago. Sometimes, I don't know if you guys do this. Let me know. sometimes I just try another app just to see how it compares with what I've got in terms of, is there anything in this app that is front and centre that I'm not doing with the app that I've got, but the app that I've got can do it? And that was how come I went back to an app that used to be called Copy and Paste. C-O-P-Y, first word, second word, apostrophe E-M, and then third word, paste. It's since renamed itself, and they got a cease and desist from somebody, and they're now called Copium. So just the first two words of it. And I thought, I'm going to give it another go. It was the one I used to use. And that, like I say, the only reason I switched was this other one came out and it worked on iOS. Anyway, Copium now has an iOS client. Issue with it was on iOS, it's a subscription. It's not a subscription on the desktop. It's a subscription on iOS. And the last thing I need is another subscription, irrespective of it being, you know, 60 odd pence a month. That's not the point. So I thought, well, I'll just try it. You know, I've already got the Mac version. Never mind the iOS version. I'm just going to try it. It does work on iOS without a subscription, but it just doesn't synchronize. And it was the synchronization I was looking for. And Copium is actually at the moment $9.99. It's 33% off because they've changed their name. So I installed it and it was very difficult at the beginning. I'm like, no, this isn't as easy as the one I've got. But little by little, I tweaked it here and I tweaked it there. And, you know, I can the plain text paste, simple. You can choose to have the images on there. And I managed to get it better than the one I had. Better in terms of I could bring up the one I had and then I had to close it and it lost focus. So I had to press the shortcut key twice. This one was really awkward until I looked at the preferences, which are shockingly displayed. There isn't a preferences dialogue box where you can see them all at once. You have to go into the preferences menu, and then each preference is listed as a separate submenu. So you can only get to one at a time, which annoys me. But eventually going through them all and thinking, well, that one must have an impact on what that one does, I managed to configure it in such a way that a single shortcut key brings it up. It automatically focuses the search field, but it also focuses the last thing that I had selected, the last thing I'd copied. So I could just press enter to paste it in. I can use the arrow keys to go up and down. And I can get rid of the screen, get rid of the, you know, the interface that comes up with either the escape key or the same shortcut key. And when you've pasted it in, it disappears unless you pin it to the desk, the desktop, because you want to use multiple things. And there are options to paste up and paste down. But you know what? None of them are anywhere near as good as Clipmate was on Windows. Clipmate. I can't believe 14 years on from buying a Mac, I am still saying there's nothing on the Mac to touch Clipmate. Clipmate was the definitive clipboard extender. It was the first fully fledged one for Windows, and it was by far the best. It was amazing. There was a company who brought out what was a complete rip-off of it, and I gave it a go. And obviously it's copying stuff and pasting stuff, and I've got multiple boards, and like, this is fabulous. Oh, good grief, it's the nearest I've ever seen, and I was so happy. And then it just hung one day, and it stopped working. And I'm like, I can't even get into this. Oh dear. Now, obviously I could have uninstalled it, but it was so fully featured, it not only let you manage your clipboard, but it was also basically like a repository for boilerplate text, which I'd put in. Now, none of it was passwords and stuff, but I couldn't tell you what I'd copied and pasted in the last 3 months. And it was inside this database. So I gets onto them and said, you know, it's not working. What do you suggest? And I didn't want to nuke the data. And they said, oh, send us your data. We'll have a look at it for you. And I thought, I don't think so. So I stopped using it that day. But that one was as near as you would get. I wish I could remember. Was it? It could have been something Delights. Delight. The ones that make, is it Capto? Let's have a look. Into 1Password we go. Let's have a look at Capto. Where are you from? Global Delight. Let's see if they still do it. Global Delight. Hello, we're Global Delight. That's good. Right, show me your apps. I wonder if they still make it. Products, there we go. No, it doesn't look like they do. Unless it's called Vismato. No, it doesn't look like they do. It might not have been them, but I really do think it was. Nothing on there, not even old applications. I had it in my mind it was them. Maybe it wasn't. But whoever it was a total port of the Windows one, which I was, yeah, that's fantastic. I'm happy with that. But unfortunately, when it crashed and burnt, it crashed and burnt. And I'm sure, you know, if I'd have nuked the data, I might have got it working again. But I can't work by putting the data in and then losing it and then having to go back and fiddle with it again. So I let it go. I wonder if I can find it in there. I've got no idea what it would have been called, but it might have had the word clip in it. There you go. Was it Global Delight? It was a Cult of Mac free bundle. There's my clips one. It wasn't Global Delight. It was Ondsoft. ondesoft.com. Ondsoft. 2012. Let's have a look. Is it still going? Looks like they've gone into iPhone development now, and I don't see it. We search the site. Products. Let's have a look. I am not seeing anything that starts with clip, so it looks like they binned it. Ondsoft it was. Let's have a look at it. Ondsoft Clip Buddy. thing is, you know, something like that. And you might say, well, it's 8 years. Yeah, it's 8 years. But, you know, I definitely think that's 14 years and it's fine. And these things come out and then they disappear. And, you know, if you were relying on that, you'd be really peeved. In fact, it looks like I purchased version one and there is a version two. And that came out about 18 months later, and I got that as part of a free bundle. So, you know, they had released two versions of it, and I still have all of the details. I've probably got an installer package somewhere, but that's not the point, is it? Yes, it's the orange one. iClip became a little buggy. Yeah, I think that was my problem. It was too mousy. It was beautiful, but it needed you to interact with it with a mouse to make it work. It was very visual, very pretty. I think it had like panels that came out. But I just want something functional that's easy, that's part of my typing. So I consider Typinator and Text Expander, or whichever one you use, it's text-based. You type it and it converts into something else. And I wanted my clipboard extender to be as similar to that as possible. So I just use the keyboard to access it and not piddling around with the mouse and finding stuff. And I'm trialing this one and I'm trying to work out, because I've already bought it. So I bought it years ago. In fact, I found the price and I paid 99p for it. We must have been on offer. I'm trying to make a decision. You know, how important to me is it that I can get access to my clipboard stuff on an iPad? And I actually don't think it's that important at all. It's if it's text, it's probably faster to put it into Drafts and open up Drafts on the iPad rather than have this thing synchronising in the background, because I'm never going to need the graphics. I just would not need the graphics. So I don't, at the moment, it's not worth a subscription to me, but who knows, that might change. I don't know. But at the moment, no. Well, that was a rare old chat, wasn't it? I told you she'd calm down. She's not barking now. Neither's Mike. They must be in his meeting now. But it's the ladies after. So the ladies will be in shortly. Clinking glasses. I'd feel such a twit with my plastic water bottle. What can I say? Don't drink. There you go. Right. Okay then. Now tomorrow. It's two show Friday, but we're without Jonathan. Do you know, I think that's... Is that the first one he's missed? In nearly 2 years. Apart from the ones he's nodded off, obviously. But he usually does make the first 5 minutes. Simon, this means you could get in there first tomorrow. Just saying. I want to think about that. Because it's usually Jonathan. Jonathan and Kim vying for first spot. Yes, we will be back 7 o'clock tomorrow. And of course, it's Two Show Friday. And that email that I said I would be out today. Yeah, I'm still working on that. What can I say? I think it's been 5 sessions today of my course. There's actually one going on right now and I'm recording it, but don't tell them. I'll have to catch up with that before the next one, which is, let me have a look at my calendar. When's the next one? 1 o'clock in the morning. So I've got another 4 hours to catch up on this one and do the work. Why did I do this? I don't know. Remind me tomorrow why I did this. Ah, but never mind. Right, I will say goodnight from me. I will say goodnight from Mike. Oh, hang on. You've been the first one, so then Mike piped up and said he'd been there for 30 minutes. Yes, but you know, if he's got nothing else to do... Will Johnny be with us for Marooned? I don't think so, Kim. The Jewish festivals go from sundown. And at the moment, it's pretty dark by 7. So I don't think so. I think he will be back Sunday because they finish at sundown as well. So he should be back either at 7 o'clock on Sunday or maybe a little bit later, depending on what official time is sundown. But hopefully he'll be with us. But for the moment, it is good night from me, and I will say good night from Mike, and we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.